us to rightly divide the words of truth. And I do pray that you'd help us to believe what is said and about the story, and help us to know how we can apply it to ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember the book of Acts? It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And so it is God making a transition because the Jewish people have rejected the opportunity to receive their Messiah as a people. So God is shifting over to the Gentiles or to the Church of God. And so that's the shift coming through here. So in Acts 8, we have an Ethiopian getting saved, and 9, a Hebrew or Jew getting saved. In Acts 10 is Cornelius. This one is being witnessed to by a Jew, Peter, the Apostle Peter. And of course, God had to work on him to get him willing to talk to a Gentile. And so God did that by a threefold story or a trance that he was put into. And then he went along and then he gave the gospel to Cornelius. Now we got down to like 36, 37, but we'll back up and hit 34 since it's at the paragraph mark. And we'll see when Peter starts actually, shall we say, witnessing to this man, giving this man the truth about Jesus Christ. Okay, and it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So any race, God must come through Jesus Christ. But in every nation, in this context, a Gentile nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Okay, is this acceptance like the acceptance of the gospel? Okay, so that's prior coming into Calvary under the Old Testament covenant, kind of a faith and work system. And so he's saying he's accepted by God. Whatever God lays out for the foundation for acceptance for the Gentile in 35, it's fear him and work righteousness. 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, okay, the word which God sent, Old Testament, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Boom, right there. He brings up the issue, and that's the issue in a matter of salvation with people is the name Jesus Christ, okay? That's the issue, and then he says he is Lord of all. Okay, so he is Lord, the Lord, and he lifts them up to the glory that is due him. So now the issue is brought right up in front of him. Okay, preaching peace. You can have peace in your heart by belief in Jesus Christ. He says, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say ye know. So he's figuring Cornelius knows this. Which was published throughout all Judea, so that's the southern region, and began from Galilee, north region, after the baptism which John preached. Matthew chapter 3. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's in north Galilee, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice no fire. Not Holy Ghost and fire, it's with power. Okay, even though at that time when Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost and Peter knew him, he did not know anything about the Holy Ghost. That was introduced to him in John 14. So he said, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. So that was his summary of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for 3.5 years when Peter went around with him. He went about doing good. Now this is the common denominator of all religions. Okay, all religions claim that you have to be good to your fellow man. Okay, even Satanists will come out and say that they got to say this publicly. You got to be good to your fellow man. Okay, so that's the bottom line. Some of them say your goodness is this pattern, your goodness is this pattern, your goodness is this pattern, but they all claim that you got to be good to your fellow man, and that goodness, that kindness to your fellow man is what's going to merit salvation. Okay, and then they will try to get some authority behind their words. They'll take you to Matthew 25, and they'll talk about somebody visiting the righteous, being nice to him and everything, and then he got to go into the kingdom. Of course, they don't know that that's a judgment of the nations. They don't know that's dealing with tribulation, a millennial time period. And so they're going to apply that about being good and kind to your fellow man. After Jesus Christ did what the common denominator of religions claim to believe in, doing good, what'd they do? 3.5 years. They killed them. The reason why is because the religious leaders were, the chief priests were demonic in their thinking, and they felt, they believed that if they can kill Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who they knew was the Son of God, the chief priests, that they could conquer God, just in the mindset of a Satanist. Okay, where a Satanist believes that either they're going to win in the end, or they're going to get to rule over hell, which, like, wow, would that be exciting? Rule over hell. Okay, and so that's the mindset. The chief priests, and you had your common ordinary priests. It's just like the Catholic Church where you have the Pope up the top, you've got your cardinals and your bishops, and then your chief priest, or your regular priest. Many of the regular priests, you know, they're just, you know, what is their motivation? Who knows? But when you get higher up into this, like in the Masons, 1, 2, 3 degrees, it's just a business club for them. When you get up in that 30, 31, 32, 33, up in that range, they know that they're dealing with a Luciferian doctrine. And when you get up to the Pope, he absolutely knows he's dealing with a Luciferian doctrine. And so when you get up in that chief area, are they flesh and blood men like you and I, or are they something masquerading as that? Jesus said to them in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. So is he speaking spiritually, or is he saying literal that they are actually children of Satan? Okay, and I don't think you can run either way in that. And so that's why they could, like a lion, like a cat, that when they kill their prey, they have no emotions with it at all. And so they had no emotions going through the crucifixion. And yet the average person, eventually their conscience would get to them. Okay, and they'd walk away from it or something like that. That's when they're absolutely under the control of Satan. So that's where even though Jesus Christ went about doing good, the people that especially were the benefits of his goodness, man, they didn't want to see him crucified. Okay, but the upper echelon, the only thing they have in mind, the upper echelon, who are under the mindset of the devil, is to kill, steal, and destroy. John chapter 10. Kill, steal. That sounds like governing authorities, does it not? And destroy. You know, as far as that goes. Okay, so he says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, where much of the sickness, a person can read that and they can say, well, that shows us that all sickness is of the devil. No, that's not true. Most of our sicknesses are probably self-afflicting. You know, where we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not eating right, we're not exercising, we're not doing something. Or it's just a general area. You know, when you have the demonic, whoever is calling the shots, worldwide or over America, where they're spraying chemtrails all over the place, and you can see them anywhere and everywhere you go, creating all sorts of diseases and sicknesses on people. Okay, and this, whatever they're spraying, aluminum or whatnot, you know, as it flutters down, it does create many sicknesses. And they've admitted, many years in the past, admitted that they've, down in Mississippi several years ago, they would spray over a certain area, then they'd they'd have somebody at the hospital to see how quick do these people start coming to the hospital after we sprayed this stuff. And they're experimenting. Okay, where this was, you know, classified, chemtrails was classified, you know, in the conspiracy world for a long time. But no, Congress has admitted this. They've admitted it. It's in their documents. It's nothing secretive about it. Okay, and that caused a lot of sickness, a lot of diseases. So if we just limit ourselves to this verse, a person could be like a, you know, where all sickness of the devil, and if you just believe in God, then you're going to get better. And that's not the case. Okay, where in the Matthew 4, some of it's physical sicknesses, some of it's spiritual, and so forth and so on. So then it says, for God was with him. For God was with him is generally an Old Testament phrase. You'll find this throughout the Old Testament. And I think we've probably all heard this where somebody will pray, and the Lord, please be with us. Technically, as a born-again believer, you don't have to pray that. That's a wasted words. Because he has already promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you might want to say, Lord, may your power be with us at all times. But his presence is there. But his power, that's a different thing. And the Lord just may interpret it. Okay, he means power, Lord. Spirit of God says, you know how they are. They're only 3 years old in the Lord. And so I help them out. Okay, and so God was with them. And then he says, we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Probably Luke is with them. Peter, I don't know if John went with them, but most definitely Peter and Luke. Luke was eyewitnesses of this. Which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew. Who? The Jews. They slew and hanged on a tree. Peter said, the Jews did it. People say, well, the Romans did it. Yeah, but who instigated it? And then say, well, our sins have put them on the tree. Yes, all that is true. But you remember a few years back when Mel Gibson put that movie out, The Passion of the Christ, and all these Jews were upset about it, where it's going to cause a bunch of anti-Semitism because he's blaming the Jews for the crucifixion. There was no anti-Semites going on. None of that. They just didn't want the idea about the Lord Jesus Christ being talked about by Hollywood in a pretty okay light, even though he had some Catholic, you know, guidance in that. And after watching that, he gave no remedy for anybody. You know, I heard people that went to it and they said, I really cried through the whole thing. And what did it do? Well, I cried through it. Well, you cried through soap operas. Sad stories of a dog gets killed. You know, big deal. Okay, he gave no remedy for eternal life. Nothing like that was given. Okay, but yet, you know, if you saw some of it, I mean, it really showed I don't think he could show how bad the crucifixion was. But I guess he would do the best he could, and of course he made a lot of money off it too. Okay, so he said, we're witnesses whom they slew and hanged on a tree. JW is going to quickly say, it was a pole. Who cares? Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Okay, rose from the dead. So now he's got what we call the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And then he says, showed him openly, not to all the people. His resurrection only shown to a few. But unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Okay, us, Peter, and the apostles. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Okay, the quick and the dead, that's usually how you get across traffic, you know, in Los Angeles. You got to be quick or you're dead. Or in Europe, especially. I like how Europeans do it better than Americans. Americans stop for pedestrians. In Romania, they try to hit them. And I watch them pick up speed. You know, when I was in Romania, I saw that for the first time. I'm in the taxi, and this guy's running across in a taxi, stepped on it, and that guy really ran across, and I'm laughing in the back, and he goes, "Oh, the medical. You know, he got a chuckle out of it. Okay, but the quick of the dead, okay? We obviously know the opposite of dead is alive. So in this context, the word quick would be another word for alive. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 shows that God is going to judge the quick and the dead. The quick at his appearing, rapture, during the tribulation time period, and the dead at his coming, the second coming, or the end of the millennium. That's the two different judgments. Okay, so the quick, he's the judge of the quick, born again, saved, and the dead, unsaved. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all. In Genesis 18, Abraham asked God, when God was telling him that I'm going to blow Sodom and Gomorrah off the map, and Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" And when he asked that question, probably in his mind said, okay, that probably was pretty settled. We got down to 10 people. And then, you know, went his way, and then later in the night, all of a sudden, a huge boom, explosion takes place. And God did right in what he did. In Sodom, Gomorrah, Admon, Bozrah. Okay, then in verse 43, he says, "To him, Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness." So Isaiah witnessed about him, Jeremiah did, Ezekiel did, Daniel did, Joel, Amos, they bore a testimony, and Moses did. He was a prophet. David was a prophet. Okay, they gave testimony or witness that through his name, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now see the wording very closely. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission. Now, we know something a little bit different looking back on this with hindsight. We don't just receive remission, we receive redemption. Where when a disease is in remission, it's still kind of in hiding. Redemption is where we're cleared. Okay, and that's through the forgiveness of sins. Now, he knew remission because that's what John the Baptist said, and that's what was said in Acts 2, verse 38. So that's what he knows at this time. Whosoever believeth in him. Now this belief is obviously within the heart. Belief in Jesus Christ. In him shall receive remission of sins. And then it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So this is implying, what would our guess be that Peter is getting ready to tell these guys, okay? After he said, "You believe in him and you'll receive remissions of sin, and then if you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ," and the Holy Ghost jumped in before he said that. Why? It's because we're making changes through here, a transition. Peter is... And this is something that you and I can rest in. A lot of times people don't want to speak up because you're afraid you're going to say the wrong thing. Oh, what am I going to do if I say the wrong thing? What do you mean, if I'm going to say the wrong thing? It's more like when you say the wrong thing. Okay, you just pray, "Lord, when I say the wrong thing, the Spirit, just kind of be quiet. Or let it go through one ear and out the other." For some folks, that's pretty easy. It's a straight shot anyway. And you don't need to be afraid of saying the wrong thing. When you discover later on you said the wrong thing, you have a second opportunity to witness. You go back and apologize. Say, "Hey, I learned something different. And here's what I've learned." So you got another. You already got the door open, so go back in that same door. It's like, you know, I guess the older you get, you know, you go into a room and you, "I knew I was coming in this room to get something. And I forgot what I was coming in here. So what do? I go back to where I thought of it." Oh, yeah. Then I go back to in that room. You go right back where you left off. Okay, and so if we say something wrong, just go back and correct it when we discover that it was wrong. So Peter here is being interrupted. And isn't it interesting that many of the folks that witness in the Bible don't say to the person, would you like to pray with me right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't see him saying that. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, okay? But I'm just saying in the Bible, it seems that that individual is the one that was the driving factor of salvation. Meaning, they're here, their story said, okay, what do I need to believe in? And Cornelius and them, they're hearing this story about Peter, and while he's talking, Cornelius said, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. And all of a sudden, boom, here comes the Holy Ghost because of his faith. And so he interrupted. So again, but Peter with this still mindset, what's the first thing he tells him after the guy is already saved? Well, you need to get baptized. So why? Because that's what he knows. So Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Okay, here's the process. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. 1 verse 12. So he said this, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, the gospel is what Peter gave them. He mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned about he went about doing good. He mentioned that he died. He rose again. And then he said, in whom also after that ye believed. When he told all that to Cornelius, Cornelius had been looking and looking. Oh, that's what I've been. I see, I believe that. And at that moment, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or down payment, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, where we get a redemption of our body. Okay, so if you would, back up a couple, two, three pages to Galatians chapter 3. And this is how Gentiles, okay, or in this age, the Holy Ghost is received. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not believe and be baptized, Mark 16 or Acts 2, it's belief in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God interrupted Peter's witness here. These people heard the word and believed it on the spot. And the Holy Ghost came down and fell on them. And verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So there are some Jewish folks that believe, but they were probably, how did this, oh, I just don't get this. And it says, and as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So what was the tongues for? Well, the tongues are in Acts 2, 10, and 19, and that was confirmation to Jewish people who witnessed this, Peter, that what just took place is confirmed by God. And so that's what the purpose of that was. But yet Peter in his mind is still thinking, oh, and Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So he's still thinking, well, we got to get them wet. I don't know if he had to set a quota into the sword of the Lord or whatever he had to do, but wanted to get them wet. And it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now in Acts 2, they was very adamant about that, where they were to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and the water dogs claimed that if you're baptized in the name of the Lord, the one name that applies to all three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then you're still going to hell. That's what the water, that's what the adamant Acts 2:38 water dogs say. Okay, and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, my Lord and my God. And that's the name of all three members of the Godhead. But the Jesus oneness, Acts 2:38, folks, they don't believe in a Trinity, believe in a Jesus oneness, so they're going to limit it to Jesus Christ, even though the Father has never been called Jesus, and the Holy Ghost has never been called Jesus. So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So these people begged him to stick around. So he did for, I don't know how long, but he did for a little while. And in chapter 11, and the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were with the circumcision contended with him. Okay, again, why are they doing that? Because that Jewish mindset, you can't deal with Gentiles. You know, that makes you unclean. You got to stay amongst Jewish people. Okay, so they were arguing with him about him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. And didst eat with them. How terrible. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying. So he had to tell them, settle down, folks. Here's why I did it. And you know, a lot of times when people do something we don't understand, and we look at it from a, you know, a position where I don't understand why they did such and such. If you really want to know, go ask them why. And you might realize, oh, okay. I can see why you did that, you know. And so there's no harm in asking somebody. So they're so Peter is going to tell them why he did what he did. And he rehearses what we read in chapter 10. He says, in a shorter part, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. Now I like how a guy puts this. You know, you ever have somebody that tells you a story where they want to get, you know, where you can get the story in about, you know, 5 minutes, but they're going to tell you the color of the trees along the way and the bug they saw and the carpet they looked at and all this. Let's just get right to the point. Okay, and so Peter's getting right to the point. He said, in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all the house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, okay, as I began to speak, meaning as I was getting ready to tell them to repent and be baptized, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Acts 2. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, and ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which was I, what was I, that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace. Okay, they understood why he did what he did. and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life? Okay, now let's back up to verse 16. Here's the thing about the Lord, okay? He says, then remembered I the word of the Lord. How that he said. When did the Lord tell him that? I mean, a year ago? 2 years ago? If we back up and discover where the Lord told them about the Holy Ghost, John chapter 14, and this is often how the Lord will work in our matter, in us growing in grace. Okay, a lot of times learning takes place where a person will get a part of something and they said, man, I just don't get it. I'm not getting it. Oh, man, I'm just so confused. I'm not getting it. And then down the line, everything just kind of falls in place. Okay, with the Lord, well, we read our Bible and we study and we may not be getting something. Down that line, somewhere along the line, the Lord is going to allow things to fall in place for us. In John 14 is where Jesus introduced to them the Holy Ghost. John 14, verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay, so if that was written, if that was spoken to them about 30 A.D., here we are, I've got 45 A.D. at Acts 10, if you kind of follow Usher's terminology, that's 15 years. The Lord's memory is perfect, even though we forget things. I like what Sam Gipp says to do, is when you read through the Bible, if there's something you don't understand, ask God. Okay, ask God. And then go back to reading. Because he said that he's done that, and then he's continued his reading, and a year or two go by, and he'll come back to that verse, and he's forgotten his question, and the Lord said, do you remember when you asked this question? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Well, now here's the answer. A couple years later. Okay, and that shows us growth. Growth in grace. Okay, and there's a lot of times like that in life where we just can't seem to get something. I remember, I think I was about 16 or 17. So that was what, about 10 years ago? Farming, they were going to start making you get certified to buy chemicals. Okay, so Dad and I went to this class to get certified. And, of course, the farmers were in there grumbling and saying, don't they think we can read labels? Okay, and so we're being educated about this class, and I'm sitting there listening, and I'm saying to Dad, I don't get a word these guys are saying. Not a clue. I don't get anything what's going on here. And he just said, don't worry about it. Well, man, we're going to be tested on this. And I don't even know what's going on. I could probably get my name right, and that's it. Well, I got time to this big, bold test where you're going to be certified. You know, you're going to be homogenized and pasteurized. Okay, here's the test. They put the test in front of us. Number one, here's the question. Does anybody know the answer? Okay, this guy says, I think it's this one. No, it's this one. Okay, oh, I got that one right. Now I'll put down number two. And that's how they went through the whole test. So I got a straight A on that test. But, you know, I still didn't understand what was going on. But there's a lot of things in life where we don't get as we're growing up. And then there's going to be a time down the road, our memory may go back to that, and then, oh, now I see. Now I see. And the same is true with the Bible. And the same is true that when we speak up for the Lord and witness to Him, while we're talking, if we've been asking the Spirit of God to guide us, while we're talking, He will bring things to our memory. Amazingly, He knows the button to push in our computer. And things will come up. Okay? And That's what the Spirit of God will do for us. Okay, so Peter remembered, verse 16. Not his great memory, it's God's great memory. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water. Now, that was spoken in Matthew 3. So that had been around 27 A.D. Okay, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay, what was skipped in that of the Matthew 3? Fire. The fire was skipped. And this shows us that there's something different being between baptized with the Holy Ghost and baptized with fire. They're two separate things. Where the Holy Ghost people, they're always praying, God, you know, give me the Holy Ghost power and fire. The Holy Ghost power and fire. My cousin Terry called me the other day and he said, I tried this Church of God down here, and this is Kentucky. He said, man, oh man, he said, the preacher kept praying for the Holy Ghost and fire, and I was afraid the building was going to burn down. And so we laughed about it a little bit. And he said, I don't think I'm going to go back there. And he's just trying. He said, man, you're trying to find a place where you can get fed. You just can't find anything. And that's the truth. That is the truth everywhere you go in this country. And I mean, it's just getting more and more dry as far as the churches go. So John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So we see two separate baptisms, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost doesn't include water, doesn't involve water. So we have two separate baptisms, and then he said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace. Okay, held their peace. That's a nice way of the Bible saying, shut up, be quiet. They held their peace. They were quiet. And glorified God. So no more arguments about this. We got the whole picture. We see where God guided you and directed you. Praise the Lord. Then it says, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance on the life. So this is the shift that is coming through the book of Acts. That shift is from Jews to Gentiles. And Romans chapter 11 is showing that because of the Jews' unbelief, then the gospel has been delivered unto the Gentiles. Okay, so that's verse 18. Verse 19 is a paragraph mark. Getting to something else, so we'll stop there. Okay, any questions?